But he's looking for work. I think he's feeling a little bit better that way. But they've been going through a little difficult time, and they're part of us in the body here. And so I would, I think it'd be really good if we help them out through this difficult time. I know they have some expenses, rent, they're behind on their rent a little bit, and some of the other bills. I know that they're working, and I was talking with Michelle, was informing me on this. Paul hasn't been informing me, but Michelle has. And I know that Paul probably wouldn't say a word to me, but I did ask Paul if I could share, and he was a little reluctant, but anyway, they're working on ways to see their through this transition time, okay, when they can be, looks like Dee is getting closer to having another job, right? Is that right, Paul? So it looks like we're on the mends here, but so if the Lord would put it on your heart to help them out a little bit, that would be good. Okay? Ask the Lord about that. Eyes of faith. Mother's Day. I was just down, yesterday we went down to see my mom. She's going to be 92 in July. And I don't know. I don't know what she's got, but I'm hoping it's in the genes. She's something else. This last winter she had shingles. Ever had shingles? Anybody in here ever had shingles? Anybody? You had shingles? My mom had shingles, but it was right through her face, right up here, you know. It was one of those. I kept asking her when she had shingles, well, Mom, how does it feel? Well, not too bad. It's all right. Now she said, you know, that shingles took a little bit more out of me than I thought. But I'm coming back. And she is. She's not slowing down. And she's something else. I know that my mom sees a little differently than I've always seen, and I'm trying to catch on a little bit more. But my mom has eyes of faith. She sees things through a different set of glasses than most people. So, first of all, happy Mother's Day to everybody here that's had children. And we can all be thankful for mothers because we've all had a mother. You didn't get here without one. So we can be thankful for mothers today. I think most mothers see their kids through eyes of faith more than we would think. A couple of quotes about mothers. I'm not getting any response. Boom. Oh, there it is. A mother understands what a child does not say. Mothers sometimes see things that others don't see. Sometimes we just look at things. And then Abraham Lincoln, I picked this one because I could put my name on that one. I think my mom is still around because the Lord knows how much help I need. And she's a prayer warrior, let me tell you. I remember my mother's prayer. my mother's prayers, and they have always followed me. They have clung to me all my life. And that's really true for me. All right. Oh, a little bit too far. You've all seen this faith, hope, and love, you know, the greatest of those love. But I think mothers see their kids, at least in my experience, with some faith and some hope and some love for their kids. How many of you ever wanted the best for your kids, huh? We all want the best for our kids. And kids go through things. And I've been through my share of things. My brother, we were at my aunt's place in Rockford, Illinois, and I was just little. And my brother was given the job to watch me. And it was out on the farm, farmstead, and there was all kinds of things to get into. And my aunt said to my brother, "Why don't you go play? I'll watch Steve." And my brother looked up at my aunt and says, "Don't you have anything else to do? I mean, this is not a part-time job. If you're saying you're taking over for me on this thing, it's going to take up the rest of your day. I mean, you can't just think you can watch this kid." That's the kind of kid I was. Mothers tend to stick up for their kids when no one else will. And sometimes I've heard degrading remarks about mothers because they're sticking up for their kids when other people aren't. Like they're in denial or something. I'm glad my mother was in denial part of the time. I'm glad that someone stuck up for me when I was really messed up and doing it wrong. I don't know about you, but I'm glad. My mother always believed in me when I seldom believed in myself. I wasn't thinking so highly of myself. We talked about that, and it can go all kinds of ways, where it's all about self, even if you don't think so highly of yourself. It's still about self. You can, you know, you can get trapped both ways. But I didn't have much confidence in a certain season of my life. But when I was really young, when I was really small, like from 0 to 6 or 7, I had nothing but confidence. I could do anything. My brother said to me when I was about 4, "Can you walk the ridge of that garage roof?" And I had to look up because I was just a little, "Sure. How do I get up there?" We struggled and got a ladder, and I got up there, and of course I'm just walking along there, you know, and my mom comes out. And I mean, I was just a little kid. I had great confidence. I'd shimmy up the highline poles and kind of get between the wires and sit on top of the cross members. They must have been phone lines. I don't know. But I wasn't thinking, are they hot wires? Are they electrical? Just do things, you know. Had no fear, no... Nothing, everything seemed possible to me when I was little. At age 7, something happened in my life. I look back, and I think it was because I was at church one day, and it was maybe during Sunday school, or Vacation Bible School. I'm not sure which one. And I was about the second row back on the right-hand side, and we're singing, stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. And as I was singing that song, I had a revelation of Jesus. And I said, Lord, I'll stand up for you the rest of my life. I'm going to give my rest of my life to you. I'll fight for you. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do this rest of my life, okay? I think the Lord took me seriously. But I'm looking backwards now. I'm just looking back because after that, all hell broke loose in my life. Things didn't go well anymore. It was like all of a sudden, one day, I lost all my confidence. I remember the day it was. We used to climb up the school building. It was a two-story brick building. And you could get up on the garage roof and then kind of scale up from there and get up on the big roof. But there was one place you had to jump quite a ways to get from one place to the other. I've done it many times. And I got to there and I couldn't make the jump. And I tried and I just lost my confidence. I know that was a changing point. I thought, what's happened here? What's going on? Other things began to happen. I started losing confidence around people. And pretty soon people were picking on me and making fun of me. What's going on here? Everything kind of just turned on my life. And that didn't quit all the way through school. From that point on, things were... I always liked people. And even my teacher back then, she started blaming me for things I hadn't done. One time, I like picking up things, you know. One day I picked up a blinker handle. Little shiny blinker handle. You know, and picked it up because it was just on the way to school. I didn't have far to school, about from that wall to that wall. Just right across the street, but there it was laying on the street. Picked it up and brought it with me, and you have this little thing for your pencils, but I just set that right where my pencil thing goes because it was just kind of my prize for the day. Well, it was a sunny day, and the sun was coming in, and my best friend sat two rows. You have to understand, it was first, second, and third grade, three rows. Upstairs was fourth, fifth, and sixth. I can't remember what grade I was in. I think it was probably fourth grade, fifth grade, I don't know, one of those. But anyway, my buddy, who was a farmer, he had a watch. We didn't wear watches, but he had this nice watch. And the sun was coming in, and that watch hit the sun hit the watch face, and you could shine that thing all over, you know. So when the teacher was working on the board, he's shining it on her head, and everybody's laughing, and she'd turn around, and, well, she comes over, and she sees this shiny thing on my desk. After she realizes this. Now, if I'd have known a little physics, I could have proved to her that you're not going to make much reflection on a round object. You know, it just won't reflect. But she blamed me, and there was no way out of it. And, of course, my mom was right next door, and she went right over and told my mom, and of course I got punished. But things like this kept happening in my life. And it didn't stop there. It just kept on going to the point where by 10th grade, I'd given up. I quit. I'm not quitting just on school. I'm quitting on life. I said, this is it. It's all over. It's done. Now, why am I saying this? I had the best mom and dad. I had the best. They gave me everything. They gave me everything I could have ever needed for my self-esteem, for what I should have had. My parents, I have no critical thing of them at all. They believed in me all through this time, and yet all these things are happening in my life. I thought it was going to be better because we moved from Glenwood, or from Farwell. I went to school in Glenwood, then we moved to Alec, and I thought things were going to be better. But actually, I had already given up, so I said to myself, without telling anybody else, I am never having another friend as long as I live. All they do is hurt you, all they do is pick on you, all they do is call you names. That's it. I'm done. And I did for 2 years. But 10th or 11th and 12th grade, never had any friends, just kind of went through the motions of going through school. Graduated, barely. These are, and you say, well, you must have had a bad hand. You got dealt a bad hand. For a long time, I just blamed it on myself that I was, well, there was one kid in Alec. Larry Beerland was his name. And he befriended me. And I kind of allowed it. It was kind of a one-way deal, though. I wasn't going to befriend him. He befriended me, and I allowed it. Because he went to the Covenant Church. And I perceived in my mind, I went to a Lutheran church. But I said, the Covenant Church, they probably get points for having derelict friends. And I don't want to deprive him of his points. So I'll let him be my friend. But that's as far as that ever went. I didn't realize that he really was my friend. I'm going to jump ahead a little way up until I moved to Bemidji, and he drove through a snowstorm to come and see me. And I thought, this guy really did. Maybe he was my friend. You know? But I didn't know it. So what was going on all this time? What's happening in Steve Thompson's life? I was full of doubt. But something never did leave me. And I can say this honestly. I never lost faith in the Lord. I always knew He loved me. I always knew that He cared for me. But as far as the rest of the world, just leave me alone. Don't even bother me. My mom and dad, especially my mom, never gave up on me. Of course, I was pretty good at being phony, so they really didn't know. You know, the moms and dads sometimes have some blinders too on me. They didn't really know what I was going through. My poor grades, And I grew out long hair after I graduated from high school. Tried college and failed. And my mom and dad never gave up on me. They always were always encouraging me. Faith, hope, and love. I didn't know why my mom had faith, or why she had hope, or why she loved me, but I knew she did. But today, I know why. Today I know why my mom and dad never gave up on me. Because my mom and dad both had faith in the Lord. They saw something more. They weren't seeing things just the way it was going. They were seeing something more. I didn't see that. I'll tell you what. I was seeing it just the way it was. Hopeless. Despair. Whatever else you could put on there. That's how I saw my life. Then another mom showed up in my life. And she was going to be the mother of our children. The first person outside of this other, when I said nobody, up showed this wonderful wife of mine who was doing something else. She showed up in my life. And she was the first person that I could honestly say, I think this person believes in me. This person believes in me. It didn't stop, though. It kept right on going. This whole journey that we're on. I went to college second time around, and because I had one person that believed in me, college changed. And then now I was able to go to school, actually have a double major in math and physics. Of course, my first math class was Math 99. Did you know there was a Math 99? There's no credit for Math 99. I just took that class because I wanted to see if there was some hope I could do anything. I took Math 99 and aced it. First A I'd had in my memory. Something had changed. But God was not done with Steve Thompson. I remember getting my first teaching job. And I was the seventh teacher to that position that year. Seventh grade math. I showed up and the kid said, "We give you 2 weeks max." The fight was on. I mean, it was horrendous. And I remember the superintendent called me into his office to talk to me sometime during that thing. And he's asked me how it's going, and I said, I'm telling him. And he says, "You know what I hate about beards?" I had this big, bushy beard at that time. Red. I mean, he wasn't even listening to me. I said, "No, what do you hate about beards?" He said, "I can't read your face. I don't know if you're lying or not." I thought, well, this is really... I didn't get hired back to that job. I did make it, however, though. I made it through the full year. I felt good about it. But because of... You have to understand, it was a lot of testing going on with the kids. So there was a lot of interaction with things. I student taught in Red Lake. And the principal calls me up there one day and how's it going? So I'm telling him how it's going, honestly. And he gets up and walks out of the office. I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally I see the secretary and I said, what happened to the principal? Did he get called? No, he came out and said he wasn't feeling well. He went home. I was right in the middle of telling him my intimate story here of teaching, and he just walks up. And I'm saying, you know, but things like this just keep on happening. And I'm saying, what's going on? You know, this scripture, we used to sing this song, but moms are good and dads are good. But not everybody's had a good mom and dad. Right? We know that not everybody had a good mom and dad. But even if a woman can forget the nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb, even if these may forget, I will not forget you. Behold, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Even if you have a good mom and dad, he doesn't forget us. Okay? Who was at work in my life? Was it just Steve Thompson being a jerk that everybody hated me when I was growing up? Could be. I don't know. I blame myself for many years. But as I got older, I realized that there was something else at work. There's something else going on in my life. There was God forming Himself in me. God was doing something. And He's not done yet, I can tell you that. And the reason I'm sharing that is because for all of us, God's at work. God's at work in you. From the beginning till the end, before you knew the Lord, like Louis said, He's still at work. He's always at work in us. God is at work. Some people don't like Oswald Chambers. I kind of do like him. Here's a statement. I have to learn that the aim in life is God's, not mine. God is using me from His great personal standpoint. And all He asks of me is that I trust Him and never say, Lord, it gives me such a heartache. He simply asked me to have an implicit faith in Himself and in His goodness. Once we get a perspective of God, once you have a perspective that God is over all and that all things work together for good, you realize that you're not just going through happenstance. And all these things that go on in your life are not lost. They're not just wasted time. All of us go through things. I'm not special. My life, I've just given you some highlights of some of the things that I didn't understand. I had a lot of good things happen in my life. But the things I didn't understand, I am now saying, this was God working in my life. God doing something. Betrayal. I mean, I went through betrayal after betrayal after betrayal with friendships. Is God bigger than betrayal? Is He bigger than all the things that can go on? He's bigger. He's greater. God's always at work. I've come to like this verse. For I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Do we believe that? Can you hang on to that one? Who started the work in Steve Thompson? God. Who's going to finish it? God. Who's going to help him out? You guys. No. Especially Louis. No, there's things that happen in life. What have you been going through? Anybody else been going through stuff? I'm telling you, God's involved with it. God is involved with your life. He's been involved with your life through everything. You might say, well, what about this? God couldn't use this. Yes, He can. He will use everything. Everything that's ever happened in your life, God is going to work it out for your benefit, not for your benefit, for His benefit. Sometimes we get so self-centered it's all about me, but it's really for Him. And then the second one in chapter 2, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for whose good pleasure? Is it my good pleasure? Is it for me? Is it for my good pleasure? No, it's for His good pleasure. How about thinking of not me, but thinking about what God is doing? What is God doing in your life? And of course, this one has become a standard for Steve Thompson. In this you greatly rejoice, talking about salvation and all the inheritance and everything else that's promised for us. We rejoice. Even though now for a little while, if necessary. Well, I want you to say, who's calling the shots? Who's the one that says it's necessary? Who said it was necessary? I mean, who is it? There's only one person I can come up with that says it was necessary for Steve Thompson to go through some of these things and to have these kind of trials. There was only one person who could say it was necessary, and that was God. It was Him all along. He's the one. He's the one that's been forming in me something for His good pleasure. For Him. Do we really live a life for God, or is it for me? Is it God who's getting the glory, or is it for me? I'm seeing more and more in the Scripture, it's not about me, it's about God. My life, we sing songs like that, but it takes a whole lifetime to come into the fulfillment of some of these songs we sing. If I were really singing the songs accurately, I'd sing them a little different. I surrender some. I mean, if we really want to be truthful, do we really surrender all? It's for the proving of your faith, which is more precious than gold. And here's one for James. I mean, one out of James. What do you do with scriptures like this? Well, once you've got a perspective of things, once you get a little different perspective, what is God's purpose in life for you? What do you suppose his purpose is for us? It doesn't have to be me, it's for all of us. You see this one word about in the middle? F-A-I-T-H. Faith. Faith. At the end of the day, do we have any faith? And how do we know if we have faith? Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that it's the testing of your faith. And that produces endurance. And when endurance has had its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Well, there's God's plan. Should we somehow have this thing in our mind that we should go through life without trials? Do you think that it's really going to happen? You think that if we had just lived a little bit better, I wouldn't have any trials? I wouldn't have anything going on in my life? No. You're going to have trials. What did Jesus say? In this world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer. Consider it all joy. I've overcome the world and I'm using it for my purposes. And they will produce something in us. We had a little conversation, Rocky and I, this week. And he made a statement. So here's... I can't remember how Rocky put it, but he said, if I stand before the Lord and Steve, you didn't make it, the Lord might say to Rocky, why didn't you help Steve? And he might have to give an answer. But Steve Thompson coming before the Lord and says, I didn't make it because Rocky didn't help me. The Lord says, I don't want to hear anything of that. How come you didn't believe? We can't blame other people, but the Lord might say to us, why didn't you help somebody else? You see, we can't get it backwards. We can't somehow get it in such a way that I can blame somebody else for my failure. And I had to come to that realization. For a while I was blaming all these kids that picked on me. I blamed all this and blamed this and blamed. And the point is, it wasn't have anything to do with them. It didn't have anything to do with it. It was God at work in me. It was God who was working out something in me. And when I realized that, I said, thank you. Instead of, I think of some of the things some of these people did to me, and now I'm saying thank you. Instead of having bitterness in my heart, I say thank you. Because it's different. It formed something in me. It formed something in me. It made me who I am. And I'm thankful. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Is that true for us? It's true for me. I know that now. It's true for me. Whatever happens, it's true. You know, in this particular verse, and I want to say something about our election. Got your ears open now? He was telling these guys to go into this land, and it said, go in there, marry, have a job, think well, make it, and make it go well in that country, because if you make it go well in that country, it'll prosper you, and you'll do well. That was not a good country. I'm a little concerned about our country right now, how we're going. But you know what? We're the people of God. We are the people of God. And God has a plan for us for good, no matter what. And He said, make it go well for that country you live in. So I think that for us, let's make it go well for America Even if we don't agree with all the things the government's doing right now, let's still make it go well for this country. Keep your loyalty. Loyalty is a character for every believer. And we need to be loyal, not disloyal. First of all, loyal to God. And if something in our country causes us to be disloyal to God, we will stand up for God. We will stand up for God and not our country at that point. But don't just throw out loyalty. Be loyal. God has plans for us. So here's a couple questions. Will God work all things together for good? That's the first question. You have to answer that for yourself. Will He do that? Is God greater than any daily circumstance? You have to answer that question. And the last one, the joy of the Lord comes from having faith in Him, not from putting your head in the sand. So I was talking to my mother, and my mom was telling me, some people think I'm crazy. She said, because when I come with a smile on my face and I'm happy, they think I'm just putting my head in the sand. They think I'm just stuffing it. They think I'm just not acknowledging anything. No, she says, they think I'm crazy, but I'm not. I have the joy of the Lord. I can have joy in all things. She's found some kind of a secret. And she's always, always had faith that maybe I would find that secret. And I'm hoping that I will come to that full knowledge. Because she's found something. But I can tell you this. The only thing she's reflecting to me is that which God has worked out in her. That's all she's given. But I think when I look, and I've worked with a lot of people in schools, and I know Bob is a teacher and others have taught. Mothers sometimes see through rose-colored glasses their kids. And I'm thankful that God doesn't see me for the way I behave, but He sees me for who I am in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's how He sees you. He sees you for what you are to be in Christ. And that's how He looks at us. And everything that happens in your life till the day you die is working towards that end. And God will complete that in your life. The only thing we can do is say, I believe it, Lord. I believe that whatever I'm going through today will work for good. And I believe You're greater than whatever I can face today. You're greater. You're greater. So moms and dads, keep believing for your kids. Your kids may be going through things, but I'm telling you that God is at work. And start agreeing with God in your prayers. Have Your way with my children, Lord. Have Your way. Have Your way, Lord. I'm going to love them. I'm going to do whatever I can to help them. But have Your way, Lord. Have Your way. And you know, there's times when I didn't give my kids things they wanted or whatever. I tried to do my best to discipline. I didn't do it right. But we always do what we're going to do is think is best. But know this, that even in a parent's failures, God is still able to take my failure and make it good. He can take your failures and make them good. He's able to do that. He's the only one who can take something that looks lost and redeem it. He can do that with everything. And our faith needs to line up with that truth. That's the truth. God is able. And He will continue forever. He'll never forget you. He has not forsaken you. He's not taken His eye off the ball ever in your life. He's always on top of His game. Always. He never somehow, I missed that one. No, God doesn't miss one thing. Not one thing. And to make sure that you understand that, He says, I even got all your hairs numbered. He knows. He knows. So He will take care of us in the midst of everything that could be coming. And like Rocky said, things may change. They may change in America. They may change how we assemble. Things might change because God is at work. But don't worry about that. Worry about being obedient to the Lord and listening to Him. Well, I'm thankful for every mother that sees more in their children than the rest of the world sees. And mothers have a tendency to do that. They see more. But I think we can all have those eyes if we really trust God for our children. And kids go through things, terrible things, but don't give up. Never give up on your children. Never give up on each other. We're all going to make it here because God is going to see us through. So we don't give up on each other and we don't give up on things that don't look like they're going to make it because we put our trust in God. And I've learned some of these things, and some of what I shared today is just life. It's just another life. But I'm telling you, I have a greater trust, and my faith is greater today than it's ever been. And I hope that it continues to grow. So, Father, I just thank You. I thank You that You sent Your Son, Jesus, that we might have life and have it abundantly. And, Lord, I pray, open up our eyes, that we might see what You're doing. That we might catch on to what You're doing and not get distracted by the circumstances, distracted by the offense, get distracted by the things that don't look right. For Lord, we know, according to Your Word and according to the message of the Gospel, that we've been born again into a living hope. And that You will work all things together for good. For those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. Your purpose, Lord. Help us to keep Your purposes in mind in our life. And Lord, I pray that You would bless each mother here today, Lord. And give them a renewed hope. A renewed hope for their children, for their families. And Lord, bless each one today and give them a new joy that they can carry for the rest of this year and for the rest of their life. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.